Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm one of your hosts today, Aaron Snyder.
And I'm Angie Fryermuth.
Today we have a very special guest with us, Major General Jason Kelly, who is the Deputy Commanding General for Civil and Emergency Operations. Major General Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
So before we get into the podcast, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got to be in the position you are today?
Yeah, sure. Aaron, I could not have envisioned myself being here in my wildest dreams. My journey to this position, to this moment in time is without doubt, gratitude and service is my thing. And I've got so much to be thankful for. Loving family, good friends, a job that I enjoy doing. Over the years, you know, so many have invested in me, believed in me, have pressed me, and on so many occasions tolerated me being me. This journey of mine, long and winding, I was reared in a home on the north side of Flint, Michigan. A home that overflowed with love and possibility. Zero military aspirations. But in that home, on my block, in my neighborhood, I was taught to share, inspired to grow, encouraged to serve, taught spiritual discipline, fearlessness, and a thirst for action. I have an innate desire to move to the front and make a positive difference. That's what I've tried to do over the course of the last 30 plus years. Be good wherever I was at. Give it everything I've got. Make a difference. And that's my goal for this position.
That's really impressive. And it's great to hear the personal side of every story. And thinking of the personal side, I always think it's good for our listeners to get to know you a little bit. And, you know, kind of curious, like, what are some of your favorite foods, favorite sports? What's your favorite federal loan program? Could you give a little bit of insight into who you are and things you enjoy?
Well, I'll take my loan program, SWIFT-P, no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt. That is the loan program. Aaron, I like Mexican food. Getting back to greater D.C. area, Northern Virginia, I'm a fan of Chuy's. When I lived in Arlington, I went to Chevy's every night that my wife would go with me. I enjoy quiet time. There are some that really like sweets. That's not my thing. I prefer my empty calories liquid. My thing. I'm a bourbon guy. But that's what I like to do. I'm at my best when I can read, drink good bourbon, and enjoy a good cigar. That's what I like to do. And if left to my own devices, if I could figure out a way to feed my family and do just that, that's what I'd do.
Nice. I think you're in good, what do I want to say? Aaron also likes a good bourbon. So there you go. You have good company. Yeah. So, well, thank you for that. It's always good to just get to know the person instead of the position. So thanks. Now on to your focus areas. We know that you've developed focus areas for your command. And so can you tell us a little more about those focus areas?
I think it's best, Angie, if we start with my initial meeting with General Graham. Shortly after my arrival, he asked me what I hope to get out of this position. And I told him that I wanted to solve complex problems and help people. As I said a moment ago, that's what I've tried to do over the course of my career. That's what I aim to do here. I don't know if I'd characterize them as focus areas because I'm not the commander. I'm not setting the pace for this organization, but I'm a staunch advocate for the priorities that Lieutenant General Graham espouses. He's asked us to safely deliver quality projects on time and within the allocated budget. He's asked us to do this by getting the engineering right, getting the schedule right, and getting the business right. I'm but one of the many in this command that he's charged to do this. Perhaps areas of emphasis better describe what I'm attempting to communicate to the Civil Works Directorate and the greater USACE enterprise for that matter. I think it's important that we continue the evolution of the Civil Works Directorate. I'll add the USACE Operations Center to that because I also have responsibility for that portion of our organization and in my title and emergency operations, but evolution there. I think we've got to improve community safety and resiliency is a second area that I aim to emphasize. Facilitate the movement of goods on our national coastal and inland waterways. And third, space that I spend a lot of my time. I hope to one day have grandchildren. I've got two young men that I'm extremely proud of. I've got a 19-year-old son, a 25-year-old son, both of whom have grown up and been able to enjoy the majesty of the United States, this fortune of geography that is ours. So the restoration, protection, and management of our aquatic ecosystems, important to me because this beauty that is ours, this fortune, I hope to pass it on. I want to be a part of those that preserve that. And to have, as I said, grandchildren, a long line of Kellys that are able to enjoy it. And then last, I think we've got to manage the life cycle of water resources, infrastructure, and the many assets of the enterprise. We're the benefactors of some decisions that were made 20s, 30s. Think dams, our locks, hydropower in the Pacific Northwest. We've got to sustain this infrastructure, our dredge fleet, recapitalization. All areas that I'm spending a lot of time. So when I come into work each day, these areas of emphasis, Angie, are places where I try to make sure I'm investing time.
Absolutely. And so we know that you've been around the Corps of Engineers and you're no stranger to USACE. So how did you develop your areas of focus and adapt them to your current role?
I've learned that the best way to learn new things is to read old things. And I've read more than my share of what I'll call age documents over the last few months. Most of what I'm emphasizing has been previously proffered. It's really not new. I'm trying to package it, though, in a way that resonates, that provides clarity in terms of why. What I found is if you communicate effectively, the genius, the goodness that is us bubbles to the top. It's so important as a leader, though, that you set conditions, provide an azimuth so the organization knows exactly what it is we're trying to do. And I think these areas provide that clarity. I think they nest well with what the chief has asked us to do. But for me, it's a place to sort of start, a point of origin for the important work that we do.
I really like what you said there about, you know, reading old things, kind of leading to new things. And it made me think of the core infrastructure. And like, we really have a lot of older infrastructure. We also have had those decisions you talked about being made 20, 30 years ago. We've recently gotten some really significant infrastructure investment with the bipartisan infrastructure law. So looking at the decisions that we'll be making today, And how do you see these impacting the core long term? So, you know, when we look back, somebody made that decision 20 years ago to where we are today. What decisions are we going to be making today that people in the next generation look back and be like, hey, they made that right decision. They moved us forward. So what's your approach to that?
This past Saturday, the president signed into law the Thomas R. Carper Water Resources Development Act of 2024. Authorizes construction for the core water resources projects for flood risk management, navigation, hurricane and storm risk reduction, and ecosystem restoration. It modifies previously authorized projects and contains other water-related provisions. And I think that that document, those authorizations, get after exactly what you've asked. I'm excited about the opportunity to put these new authorities to work for the American people. I think so many take for granted what has permitted our superpower status, this geography of ours, this inland marine transportation system, the technology that we employ to unite the many rivers, tributaries that permit the movement of goods throughout our nation, and not to mention what we do internationally by way of our coastal ports and harbors. I think if we're going to do this well, we have to think differently. I think this evolution that I mentioned as a emphasis area for me, we got to be better. Aaron, we're executing a civil works program that's north of $9 billion. 6 supplemental appropriations that exceed $45 billion. In 1976, our program was $2 billion. I think we have to move differently. We've got to get better if we're going to deliver. And I think this betterment is rooted in our appreciation of those that preceded us, the understanding of why, the importance of sustainment, the importance of investing in this infrastructure, and then us doing our part managing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I was thinking about, you know, the evolution, and, you know, really one thing that we see today is, I suppose every generation feels this, like things are changing fast and technology is changing, but now we've got AI, you've got remote operated vehicles, you've got remote operations, there's technology that's evolving. And in the past, it feels like, you know, I've been told, you know, the government or the core were like a battleship and you can't turn on a dime, you know, you can't, you know, change and adapt that quickly. But I never buy that. And I kind of want to see what's your philosophy for this evolution and how can we adopt technology to really deliver that mission? Because I would be willing to bet that when we had a $2 billion mission in the 70s, we probably had about the same amount of staff as we do today. I'm not sure about that, but I bet you it's pretty close. So we're trying to deliver a much larger mission with a similar staff. We're going to have to leverage technology and other resources to do that. So what's your approach there?
So, and I cannot agree more with you that there are things that we can do today that we heretofore just could not. Technology for me is allowing us to see exactly how we're doing. And monthly, I have a delivery review with commanders, and in it, able to see both lagging and leading measures. Keep score. Do so without a static spreadsheet or snapshot. Do so with live data. Really understand how we're doing, and then hold ourselves accountable. We're executing a record program, and we rightly have unprecedented expectations. One of my favorite authors is Adam Grant, and one of my favorite books is his offering, Think Again. in the book, Grant suggests that we should be constantly reevaluating and rethinking everything that we believe to be true. It's an ode to growth. Everything I'm telling you this morning is provisional. I will reserve the right to learn and grow, to get better. That's my take on evolution. That's my take on the inclusion of data. That's my take on the incorporation of data management, artificial intelligence. Absolutely everything is on the table. If it's going to help us get the engineering right, if it's going to help us stay on schedule, if it's good for the business of USACE, I want some of it. One specific example that I might offer is our studies or investigations program. The goal of our feasibility reports is to identify engineering solutions to problems. We were told by Congress, more than a decade ago, to stop looking at small individual projects and start looking at larger regional systems. But as we've started to do this, our studies have grown large and I'd argue unwieldy. How do we structure these efforts so the reports are both delivered efficiently and effectively and the resulting projects are delivered efficiently and effectively? I think actionable, separable elements are the way to go. Think parent, child. But how we do this, I don't know just yet. It's evolution that I hope to be a part of. It's evolution that I think the wealth of data available to us will influence and shape. It's evolution that technology, better modeling, will help us grow, help us become, is kind of how I'm thinking about it. And that's one example.
Yeah, thinking back to Aaron, when we started, 20 some years ago, and seeing how we've evolved. And then just right now, in the time that we're living in and all of the technological advances that we have, I can't wait to see where USACE goes. And so I'm glad that we have you and Lieutenant General Graham at the helm, leading the way for us. So I want to shift gears a little bit. Like I said, you've been around the Corps and sat in different seats. And so we know that you've been able to see the best of the Corps and experience some things that others within the Corps have not had. And so can you talk about one of the proudest moments that you've had as a USA senior leader?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Angie. There are many, but I think they can all be binned as legacy. I enjoy seeing organizations that I've been a part of continue to excel and contribute to our nation's security, strengthening of our economy, and the reduction of disaster risk. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Norfolk District, for the South Atlantic Division, and when it existed, the Afghanistan District. It's a matter of legacy. I take great pride in seeing these organizations advance projects that were mere discussions and ideas during my tenure, to see them cut ribbons, to deliver long after I leave, and I can offer a host of projects that these organizations, and it's on display during our most recent response to Hurricanes Helene and Milton, having been in the South Atlantic Division and seen Brigadier General Hibner lead the division and respond in Florida, in North Carolina, to watch the Norfolk District be present with the governor and be responsive. It took quite a bit of joy watching those gentlemen, watching those organizations get after it and deliver for communities in need.
So sitting in the seat that you're in now, what is it that you want to achieve while you're in the seat?
I think it goes back to the response I gave General Graham when he asked me what I hope to achieve in this position. I want to solve complex problems and help people. I want to build and lead an amazing team and do good work. I think that's what America needs us to do. I think that the many within the core, that's what they want. That's why you, I hope that's why the two of you have remained members of the core. Meaningful work, amazing people to do it with. I feel privileged to be a part of it. And so as a senior leader in this organization, want to be in the number, the few that are afforded the opportunity to set the pace, to be influential and deliver for the nation, deliver for the Corps, deliver for the United States Army.
Well, it's been really fun talking to you today and getting to know a little bit about you. Before we leave, I do want to ask, is there one thing our listeners should take away from this interview, and what is it?
Aaron, I hope that our listeners know that what we do is important. What we do matters throughout America's history, from the Revolutionary War through the era of westward expansion and the nation's rapid ascent to world leadership in the economic, technical, and military spheres. We've been there. Army engineers, members of the Army Corps have played a unique role. Our responsibilities as the managers of our nation's civil works program is ever-changing. It's always been true. The nation's needs and priorities will change, but our readiness to deliver will remain constant. I'm excited to be a part of it and really enjoy what I do, and hope that the many that do it with me get as much joy as I do out of performing and delivering for the nation.
Well, thank you, Major General Kelly, for joining us today for this edition of Inside the Castle. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you what topics are important to you and people you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and deliver for the nation.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the Corps and revolutionize civil works together.